Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, if it's your first time, welcome to the show. We're a show for couples, and well, we initially started off for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage, and we've grown to talk about adoption, to talk about fertility treatment, foster care, really all the...
singleness.
Yes. Whenever your dream, you kind of have to lay that in God's hands. Those are the kind of topics we talk about, and we just want to encourage you, God is enough. Right. He is your rock. He is more than enough, and you can trust Him.
Yeah. Well, Kendra, today I'm so excited to have our call-in guest on. You might have heard of him. I hope you have, and if not, I'm excited that you're about
to
hear.
If not, you've got to.
Yes.
You're about to hear from him.
You're about to hear from him today. His name is Phil King, and he is a singer-songwriter and recently released a single that's called Miscarriages. And so, obviously, we were like, there needed, oh goodness, a song for this for so long. And so, the first time I listened to the song, I was bawling because it was so many things that he said in that song that just, gosh, came right out of my heart.
Not a lot of Christian writers have maybe taken off that topic.
I agree.
And it just, it resonates with so many of us.
Yeah. So we have him on the phone right now. Phil, are you there?
Yes, it's so good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we are so excited for you to come on. It's kind of, we've been in the talks about this for about a month now, about you coming on the program. So we're so excited for you to be here.
Thank you.
Do you mind just starting out, like telling us just a little snippet of what your family looks like? Because from what I understand, miscarriages don't really play a part in your personal story. Is that right?
Right, right. The song was based off of some burdens we were carrying with some friends of ours at the local church we're part of. But yeah, my wife and I, we've been married for, it'll be 5 years this fall, and we had twins. It was a big surprise a couple of years ago. So we have a son and a daughter, and it is like the best and most joyful and also most difficult thing we've ever done.
Amen.
It's very true.
Yeah.
We had ours one at a time, and I agree with everything you just said. I can't imagine too.
Yeah, it's the best, and my wife is such an amazing woman. She deserves like a medal every single day. I just, you know, the way that she born into our babies is pretty amazing to watch. So,
Love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Phil. Do you mind like just telling us? Let's get into the nitty gritty of the song, because I'll definitely we'll play some of it in just a little bit. So, just tell us why did you feel such a need? If this isn't your personal struggle or your wife's personal struggle, why did you feel such a need to write a song about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I really believe in, like I just referenced that scripture, we have to share one another's burdens in the body of Christ. And you know, the follow-up to that verse is, it says, and in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. So when we're grabbing burdens that are to people to our left and people to our right, even if it's just as simple as praying for somebody, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to solve all the world's problems.
Yeah.
Not even Jesus did that. You know, just whatever's right in front of you. And so basically some friends of ours, and we're just in that season of life where everyone's having babies, it seems like, you know, and left and right. And so anyway, some friends of ours had a miscarriage, and what really hit home about this is they were pregnant with twins, like we were, and they lost baby B which for us would have been our son. And, you know, in the world of multiples, A, B, C is an order of most likely which child's going to be born first, second, third, and so on. So anyways, that really hit home, and we were giving them all of our gear, you know, our baby gear, because you have to have two of everything, and weird contraptions when you have twins that are newborns, and we were giving them clothes and, you know, tips, and so it just really, like, struck a nerve deep down in my heart, and I was thinking about it one day when I was getting ready, and I was like, I don't know of a song. Maybe there are some, but I don't know of a well-known one where people can grieve and step into a space with Jesus in the form of a song and process that in a safe place with the truth of what has actually happened with that child as well. You know, so I know, especially based on the story of John the Baptist, when Elizabeth walked up to Mary and John starts kicking, you know, it's like he's the first person, a baby in the womb, to recognize Jesus, who was in Mary's womb. So that children are alive in the womb. And so when a miscarriage happens, I really wanted a song that took people to the truth of your baby is safe. Your baby is alive. Your baby is with Jesus. And most importantly, your baby is waiting for you on the other side and can't wait to meet you.
Wow.
I wrote that song, and it was just a little, you know, demo, real simple. And I sent it to our friends, and I was like, hey, I hope this gives you something to, I'm so sorry, you know, and that was my way of carrying that burden with them. And, so sorry for your loss. And just the reaction that they gave and what they had to say back to us, and even seeing them at church, I was like, man, maybe this needs to be out for more people. So that's kind of the nitty gritty there. And again, my main burden was I just wanted people, even people who aren't saved, which has been wild. I've been getting messages from people who are like, well, I'm not religious, but this song is really something about it. You know, I hope this is real, you know, yada, yada.
Wow.
And even for people to put their hope in Jesus, because I believe that lost children are with the Lord when that happens in the womb. So, yeah.
Well, you tapped into something that I think anybody who has ever lost a child wants someone to acknowledge their grief and to recognize that it's okay to hurt this much, because, you know, we have a long list of things on Hannah's heart of what not to say to somebody who is grieving. And so many sentences, people trying to be encouraging say, well, at least, you know, and I've heard with twins, well, at least you got one, you know, but I love your story because you having had to, you're acknowledging, yes, of course we're happy for the one life, but each one was a life and it still hurts just as deeply. So I'm sure that was incredibly powerful for them to have somebody to acknowledge the depth of the grief.
Well, Phil,
absolutely.
Would you be good if we played the song on this episode?
Yes, I would love that. Yeah, please.
They did not awake in this world. They awoke in the arms of God. The first light they saw was heaven's majesty. They're growing up being taught by Jesus. So alive in blessed freedom. How could a child be lost if they're home? So mommy and daddy, don't you be afraid. Your little baby is gonna be okay. They're being held in the arms of Jesus, and they can't wait to meet you soon. So safe and sound. They're far more alive than we are here right now. They talk with the saints all about you, know your name and who you are. They can't wait to meet you and jump into your arms. So mommy and daddy,
We're trying not to completely ugly face cry in here. If you're watching online, forgive us.
Oh, wow.
That resonates for so many reasons.
Yeah.
And what about the song? Obviously, we're both just bawling over here. What is it for you?
Well, Phil, part of my story is I had a baby boy at 26 weeks, and he was born, and he lived for about 27 minutes, and he passed away after that. And my husband and I never did get to hold him while he was alive. And so, oh, goodness, yeah, the thought of him being, you know, held by Jesus, and we fortunately did get to hold him for about 3 days, you know, in the hospital and stuff. The thought that he, you know, being safe in Jesus's arms and, you know, waiting on me. And then, you know, you mentioned even him knowing, you know, about families. And so, goodness, yeah, I mean, I just completely lost it the first time I heard that song. And I've had to make myself listen to it. Not make myself, because it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to it. But to prepare for even this show, to know, like, okay, I've heard it and I've heard it, to be able to really talk about it. But I mean, just for you to be able to pull those lyrics, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it was just the Holy Spirit working mm-hmm. in you for you to be able to, you know, to really acknowledge and to think to even say those things, you know, and
I think that imagery of your child running to you in heaven mm-hmm. really just strikes at the heart of anyone who's lost one, because there's such a desire to be able to hold the baby that you didn't get to hold.
Yeah.
And to know that theologically, first of all, you're sound. I appreciate that you didn't have any lines about, oh, they become angels.
Right.
Because the secular world, you know, we'll teach that. And that's not what Scripture teaches, but it does teach us that our children are in the arms of Jesus and that he is caring for them. I think that gives so much hope to us. I think we had someone reach out to Ann and I recently, and they asked us, they're like, hey, they had just lost a little one. They're like, how long is it going to hurt? Mm-hmm. And Ann just said, I'm sorry, but it's probably going to be forever. Like, it gets easier, but it's always going to hurt. And one of the things I commented, I said, you know, it's excruciating at first, but eventually it actually, even though it's painful to remember those losses, there's also a joy in recognizing there is a life in heaven.
Right.
And, you know, as Christians, we don't grieve like the rest of the world does. We grieve with hope, and we have this hope of seeing these little babies again. And so just being reminded of the fact that we're going to get to hold them, of course, it makes us fall apart and cry, but there's also a joy in remembering them.
Yeah. Do you mind me asking what your friend's response was that, you know, like, I know you wrote the song for lots of people, but for baby B, you know?
Yeah. You know, the wife, honestly, she's, I like you guys said, I you can still see it, you know, it's still hurting. And she just replied to my wife and said, I'm going to be listening to this. Thank you so much for this gift, you know, for them to process. And then the husband actually came up to me at church, and they're kind of soft-spoken people, you know, kind of quiet people, but he came and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he just, you know, looked me in the eye and was like, thank you so much for this song. And, I'm trying not to cry over here too. You know, it's just, I think the line too, as we were just listening to it, that, you know, that says, and all the love you thought you've lost has been saved for when you cross to where they are now. And, you know, I know that the pain, even for our friends here, is so deep, so real, but I know that whether the Lord returns and we're all together, and, you know, that route, or we pass away and we're, go on to heaven, I know that the joy will be a much longer forever.
That's right. Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine reach out to me too, that I was just shocked. He's a dear friend, and he heard the song, and he said, I didn't even know this. He said, we've had 10 miscarriages.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And just reading his response, and so many people that have written in after hearing this song, it's just glory to God. I'm just so thankful that God's using this song in that way, that people have a space to because there's healing and grieving, there's healing and tears. I don't really know how all that works, but I know that it seems to me like miscarriages, and obviously, we haven't had one, but can be feel very isolating, and like you don't have pictures, you don't have stories, so it's different, and so I'm real thankful that this has given people that space.
No, you absolutely nailed it. I think the thing in my mind was like, I hurt so much, and I was surprised by how much I hurt, and I felt almost guilty for hurting, and nobody else even knew that life had existed. So it really does allow giving people the freedom to grieve, because and the Lord told me one day when I was praying with him, he said, well, you're grieving because it really was a life. Mm-hmm. The world tells us it's just a clump of cells, but nobody would feel that way if it was just a clump of cells that was lost. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention to our listeners, if you are struggling with the question of the theology of do babies really go to be with Jesus? We did an episode on that and had a theologian on, Alex McFarland, I think it was a two-part series. Mm-hmm. We can maybe link to that in the description. That was something I struggled with, because I was like, I just want to know that I know. Are they really with Jesus? And where is it in Scripture?
Because it always sounds good to say.
It sounds good, but don't lie to me if it's not really in there.
Yeah.
And my heart found a lot of peace when I really looked into what the Scripture does teach on that. And you can listen to that if you look at the link in the description. But Phil, you've done a lot more than speaking of the life issue. You believe that life is sacred and begins in the womb, and you've created some other songs. And you were telling me about that off of the air. I haven't heard the other song, but
Would you tell us about Not Forgotten and in your time at Times Square? And because Not Forgotten, if I'm right, it said it was a Grammy winning song. Is that right? A Grammy-winning, you sang with Francesca Battistelli.
I sang that song. It has ended up with some cool people who have
That's amazing.
It was that was, and it's funny because these two songs to me are sort of symbiotic, like they're linked. Mm-hmm. Because I wrote Not Forgotten years ago, and that had to have been one of the most supernatural songwriting that it was just like 45 minutes, 30 minutes, and it was done. I was like, this is crazy. So Governor Cuomo in 2019, or I believe it was 2019, January, because Martin Luther King Day, for the state of New York, they passed the abortion bill that allowed, up to full term, which is just crazy. And everybody, there was such an outrage over that, and in the media and all over. And I just started praying, and I just felt so helpless, with some of the things that were going on. I was like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I know that this is not right. I know that this grieves the Lord's heart. And I know that this is, the taking of innocent life is horrible. Mm. And so anyways, I sat down at a piano, just like crying. And I just had this picture in my mind's eye of all these millions and millions and millions of people around the throne of God whose lives had been ended early in the womb, saying, hey, what about us, Jesus?
Wow.
What about us? And I started singing that chorus. You are not forgotten. We are fighting for you. Just like almost like as a response to them from the earth, like, hey, we're gonna do something about it. We're gonna stand, and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna push things into legislation even, and lay our lives down for what's right and true. And it was so neat, you guys, because that song, Not Forgotten, it just started getting picked up like crazy. And wow. At one point, it ended up on Fox News, on national news. They ran a story on it. Yeah. And then that's when Focus on the Family reached out and started using it for certain things. I remember I even got from a representative, a House representative in Oklahoma, a letter from his daughter, a note that she sent over. Hey, my dad's working on this new thing. It's called the Heartbeat Bill. Mm-hmm. And we're playing your song in the background as he's busy working on it. Thank you for, And so that song like really started to push its way into like the government space quite a bit, definitely more than anything else I've ever done. And that was such an honor to get to do that. Sorry, I'm trying not to cry again.
That's amazing.
That was one of those moments, one of those seasons in my life when I think about it, I'm like, okay, that was like so worth it. Definitely got a lot of crazy emails from people who did not agree with God's point of view, and that's okay. You know, just bless them and pray for them. And it was pretty intense at times. In fact, a few weeks after the song had released, it just ended up on so many news sites and Christian sites that I got asked to go play it in the state capitol in New York, where that bill was signed, for a like a day of like repentance and mourning. It was like, oh my goodness, I just wrote this song and now I'm here playing it where like this thing happened.
Says it ultrasounds.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry. I forgot the thing in Times Square as well. Yeah. So sorry. Totally left that out. But Focus on the Family, you know, they had a massive event in Times Square where they played, a live ultrasound from the gal who the unplanned movie, the actual person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was there. And it was actually her baby that they did the ultrasound.
Oh, my goodness.
And played over at like really big screens and loudspeakers over all of New York City, and got to do the song, you know, kind of at the pinnacle of that. And that was really amazing to get to take part in that. I think it was the largest pro-life event in the state of New York ever.
That's amazing.
So it was, yeah.
Phil, your work cuts through. I just think about how in the politics of this, there's just people that put up wall after wall after wall, and they can't even acknowledge that this is a baby, you know? And then you play a song that somehow music has the way of speaking to our soul and can make people make those walls just crumble like the walls of Jericho. Praise God that you have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as Anne said, I truly believe you were led by Him for both of these songs. We are almost out of time, but our listeners need to connect with you. Where can they find and follow your work?
Yeah, that's great. Anywhere on social media, if you just type my name in, Phil, P-H-I-L, King, K-I-N-G, should pop up. And then I have a website as well, philkingmusic.com. And I respond to messages, so feel free to send one.
You do respond to messages. You were very quick to respond to me, and I so appreciate it. Well, Phil, we are honored to have you on our program, and we will be looking out for more of your work for sure. And just thank you for letting your music be used by the Holy Spirit. And we just appreciate you being here today and the heart that you've had for our listeners who are listening in today.
Yeah. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.